today as we come to the table.
As Satan attacks and brings in the persecution on the Jews, God is now using that and driving them back to their homeland. And I think you're going to see a lot more of these instances around the world on a regular basis against the Jews. Not because God is doing it, not because God wants it, but because Satan is doing it. God is allowing the enemy to attack them for now, and God is going to use that to drive them back to their land. And I think you're going to see a great influx of the Jews back into Israel now because of all this persecution around the world. And I believe it's a direct fulfillment of Zechariah 2, as well as other prophecies in the scripture, where I think this is a dual prophecy.
It's a dangerous and challenging time in history right now, especially for God's people. We don't know when exactly Jesus will return, but we do know that God is not done with the nation of Israel. Today, Pastor Mark will show us that passages like Zechariah 2 point to a future redemptive plan for the Jewish people. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. As persecution increases in the Middle East, we should be praying consistently for God's chosen people. In the United States, we're blessed to be able to freely and openly practice our faith. That's tragically not the case for billions all over the world. But God has a plan to work in the hearts of many before the final curtain falls. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Zechariah chapter 2 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Father, I pray now for the teaching of your word. I pray, Lord, as we get into your word today, looking at the encouragement that they needed there, that Zechariah and the others needed as they were rebuilding Jerusalem and watching God work in their midst. God, I pray you would, again, encourage us for those that are here that need to be encouraged and that need to be ministered to. I pray that the same spirit that you used to encourage them, you would now by your Holy Spirit encourage us, that you would be our teacher and, Lord, that you would be our instructor as you look at what you have for us in a future and a hope as we get into Zechariah chapter 2. So God bless our time. We thank you for it, and we look forward to it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, looking at a future and a hope, I know that sounds like somewhere else in the Bible, Jeremiah, but the phrasing is not really used here, but that really is what this is about. And to realize why they needed a future and a hope is you got to remember what was happening at this time and what their situation was. Now, kind of to give you a recap, remember, they had come from Babylon after 70 years of captivity, and when the Babylonians destroyed them, they wiped them out. It would be like somebody coming and say, Russia came into Knoxville, and Russia took over Knoxville and wiped all of Knoxville out and knocked down all the buildings and burned everything and destroyed it, and they took us back to Russia. And we were there for 70 years. And then God released us, and God sent us back to Knoxville, and God said, no, go back to Knoxville and rebuild Knoxville. And we would come back, you know, maybe thinking, come back to my hometown and rebuild it. But can you imagine getting here? People used to read that verse, you know, can a nation be born in a day? And they thought that was just kind of hyperbole or an example. And they realized, wait a minute, no, a nation was born in a day. When the UN gave permission for the nation of Israel to be reborn, which that in and of itself is a giant miracle, knowing the UN, David Ben-Gurion stood up and in May 14th, 1948 said, Israel is now a nation. And they were literally recognized and reborn as a nation in a day in 1948. And since that time, God has been bringing them back in droves. Now, again, there weren't that many there initially and not that many went back right off the bat. Because this is what it was like. Even as it was hard for them to go back in Zechariah's day, it was hard to go back and rebuild and start all over even in 1948 because it wasn't quite as bad as it was in Babylonian days. But at the same time, they're starting from scratch. You can imagine what that would be like. And so even as God brought them back and rebuilt them there, we're going to see that God is going to give a foreshadow of bringing them back in the last days and rebuilding them now, which is really exciting because that's exactly what we're seeing in our day. We're watching God bring them back. We're watching God work in their lives in a new way. and in the nation of Israel. And so we'll get to that more as we jump into it. But let's get into it. Zechariah chapter 2. Remember, God had told them last week that he was going to judge the nations that judged them. And God spoke prophetically in that, speaking really of all the kingdoms, all the way through Rome, who would be abusive to them, and saying that God was going to send his judgment on them as well. And again, which would have been encouraging that God was going to be their defense. But now God gives the further encouragement as we jump into chapter 2 about what God's going to do now and then again in the long term in the nation. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Then I raised my eyes and I looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. And so I said, 'Where are you going?'" Now this is interesting. Zechariah now sees an angel with a measuring cord in his hand. Again, we see another place where there's angels measuring for the fourth temple, and they've got these rods in their hand, measuring with rods. This is different. This is actually a measuring cord. It would be almost like, I guess, the closest that we have to it today would be like a tape measure. And yet you see the angels using the rods in other places. And notice I said the fourth temple. The third temple is about to be rebuilt, I think, very soon. As a matter of fact, the rumblings of a third temple are already underway. In Israel, if you read the Israeli news, after they saw that President Trump won, they know that he's very friendly to the nation of Israel. And there's already a rumbling among those that want to take over the Temple Mount and rebuild the temple, saying maybe President Trump will get to work for us internationally and allow us to rebuild our third temple. So there's a real push for that going on. There already was. But there's a greater anticipation for that. Some believing that he's kind of like the forerunner of the Messiah. They're actually saying that maybe President Trump is the forerunner of the Messiah, you know, that we're bringing not just the golden age of America, but bringing for Israel. And so they're thinking of their nation, even as we're thinking of ours. And so it's interesting to watch what's happening. But now, the reason I say the fourth temple is, the Bible says when Jesus comes back, there will be a third temple built. But this will not be a godly temple. The reason we get excited about the third temple is it is a sign that the Lord's return is very near. Because the Bible says in the last days there'll be a third temple built. But remember, this third temple will be an abomination before heaven. Why will it be an abomination? Because they're going to be once again sacrificing animals and giving animal blood for the sins of man as though Jesus' blood didn't do it. So they're rejecting Jesus' blood. They're pretending none of that happened. They're giving animal blood and going back to the law, which again, the word of God condemns. So the excitement about the third temple is not that it'll bring some spiritual revival in Israel. As a matter of fact, if anything, it will further blind them. God will pour his spirit out in the last days, again, after the Russian and Iranian invasion. That could happen anytime, we've talked about. And then their eyes will be open to their Messiah. They'll recognize Jesus Christ and things will change, but a large portion of them will not, and that temple will be in place. But the Bible says when Jesus comes back in the second coming, he will destroy that third temple. He will rebuild a fourth temple that you read about in Ezekiel chapters 40 and on. And in that one, you see the angel with the measuring rod. And so it's very interesting. Why do I give you all that background? Well, just so that it gives you a better understanding of even the measurement that he's doing here. Because again, in the measuring rod that God uses with the nation, he makes it clear that he's not just measuring the place where the fourth temple will be, even as I believe he's not just measuring the width and length of Jerusalem that he's going to talk about here in a moment. But again, he's talking about measuring the people and measuring where they are. Notice it says in verse 2, he says this, "So I said to this angel, 'Where are you going?' That with this measuring line. And he said to me, 'To measure Jerusalem and to see what is its width and what is its length.'" Now, there is a direct application here, a literal one, and that is he was literally going to measure what the new Jerusalem, when they came back, what it was going to be. Not the new Jerusalem in the book of Revelation, but the new Jerusalem as they had come back. He's going to get the size of it. God's going to have it built to that specification. And of course, we don't see that here in this chapter, but that's what's happening. But again, like I said, there's something else going on here, kind of a double meaning going on, I believe, the same way that it was going on in Ezekiel. And that is this: I want you to measure Jerusalem, but in measuring Jerusalem, you're seeing if the people measure up. I want you to evaluate and measure the people as well. And what that means is, God, remember, I just told them in chapter 1, you need to repent. And if you repent, then I'll do in you what I want to do. But if you don't repent, you're going to miss those blessings. God says the same thing to us today. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit right now is in this room evaluating us to see if we measure up. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. First of all, is anybody worthy? The answer is no. As a matter of fact, next week, probably the title is going to be something like, "No One is Worthy." I don't know for sure, but it's going to be something like that. And you'll see why when we get into chapter 3. But I want to share with you something that the older believers know that maybe new believers don't. And for the first few years of walking with the Lord, it drives you crazy. And that is, you do your best to be worthy. And then you realize that you'll never be worthy and you can't be worthy, and you learn to relax and enjoy the Lord. And it's a sweet transition into, you quit trying so hard and you just kind of relax and let the blood do the work. Because nobody in this room is worthy. Nobody ever will be worthy until we're in the kingdom of God. So then what's the point of God seeing if they measure up, so to speak, in this example, this application? What he's saying is, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Do you love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? That's the measuring line that the Lord is looking for in all of our hearts. And I believe there was a double meaning here going on with Zechariah. Yes, there's going to be a literal measurement, but there's also going to be a measuring of the people and a measuring to see where their hearts are before the Lord. Now look at verse 3. And there was the angel who talked with me going out. So the angel that just told him that now begins to leave to go measure Jerusalem. And another angel was coming out to meet him. So another angel now comes up to meet him. Zechariah's watching all this in this vision. And he said to the first angel, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls. Now, first of all, this would have been amazing, as towns without walls, because all the towns in that day had walls. It was your only line of defense. You built walls around yourself so you could have that defense. It wasn't like it is today where you have like a national military that can fly around and watch everything. No, you had to guard your city and then gather all the peoples from the other guarded cities to come to battle if anybody invaded. He says, there's a day coming that there's going to be towns without walls. And this is another reason we know this is a dual prophecy, because they did have to rebuild the walls in Zechariah's day. But he's now looking forward to a time where they will not have to build any walls as Jesus comes back in the second coming, ruling for 1,000 years, and there'll be peace around the entire globe. He says, you'll be inhabited like towns without walls, and because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. So notice, again, not just that the walls will not be there, but the walls would get in the way because there's going to be so many people and so much livestock. He's speaking again of the restoration. And again, as Zechariah looked around and saw that hardly anybody was there compared to the numbers that used to be, this would have been very encouraging. But again, this is not just Zechariah's day. This is talking about in the millennial kingdom. Look at verse 5. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, that is Jerusalem, and I will be the glory in her midst. Now again, we know this is dual because he wasn't a wall of fire around them in Zechariah's day, but he will be a wall of fire around Jerusalem when the Lord comes back. Can you imagine what that's going to look like? And then he says, I will be a glory in the midst of her. Guys, the earth is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord. It's going to be an amazing thing as we see the Lord seated on his throne in Jerusalem, the angels and the armies of God, the wall of fire and the glory coming off of the Lord during that kingdom. It's going to be amazing and beautiful. I can't wait to see that. But again, this would have been so encouraging for Zechariah, again, then and also looking futuristically, because again, seeing God's promise and what God was going to be doing in the future in the millennial kingdom. And I love the fact that he says there's not just the fact that walls won't be needed because there'll be peace around the globe, but there's going to be so many people, walls would get in the way. And I love that. In other words, it's going to be packed out. There'll be plenty of room, don't worry. There's going to be a lot of people enjoying the millennial kingdom, and Jerusalem is going to be a very busy place. I love Jerusalem now. I love to go to Jerusalem now. And as God talks about the restoration of measuring for the tribes in Ezekiel, and even mentioning it here, he talks about the reestablishment of the nation of Israel in the boundaries that God originally intended them to have, which is much larger than they have today. And so God's going to spread them out. He's going to give that land to the 12 tribes of Israel. But I love Israel. I love Jerusalem. And I've always thought, Lord, if I could live, now I don't know where we're all going to live. We'll all be spread out around the globe. I would love to live in Jerusalem. Some of you in here say, yes, I'd love to live in Jerusalem too. Some of you say, well, Hawaii doesn't sound so bad. I had somebody say to me, they said, well, look, we'll be in Hawaii, you be in Jerusalem, and then when you visit Hawaii to snorkel, you can stay with us. When we come for the Feast of Tabernacles, we'll stay with you, we'll work out a deal. I'm like, all right, we'll talk about it. But what I love is the Bible says that it's not just going to be the Jews that get to live there during the millennial kingdom. It's going to be some Gentiles as well. And I'm hoping one of them gets to be me. Now, God has to choose that. But I'm like, Lord, if you might pick one, I'd love to. Listen to what it says in Ezekiel 47, verses 21 through 23, speaking of Jerusalem in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It says this, thus you shall divide this land among yourselves according to the tribes of Israel. It shall be that you will divide it by lot as an inheritance for yourselves. And this is what got my attention, for the strangers who dwell among you and who bear children among you. Now, again, interesting, it says bear children among you. Remember, In the millennial kingdom, we will go in our new bodies. We will be married to the Lord, so to speak. He is our husband. We're the bride of Christ. But there's going to be a lot of people that miss the rapture and get saved afterwards. They're still going to be here at the second coming, making it through the great tribulation. Not a lot, actually, but there'll be a decent number. They're going to go into this new millennial kingdom here on the earth for 1,000 years in their normal bodies. We will have a new body. We will not be having children. They'll be in their normal bodies. They will be getting married and having children during that time. So that's what the reference is here when he talks about you'll bear children among you, these strangers that are there. So it shows these Gentiles, because they're not Jewish, they're strangers, meaning Gentiles. And notice it says, they shall be to you as native born among the children of Israel. In other words, although there are some Gentiles, the Gentiles are not Jewish, they're going to be accepted as native born Jews. They're going to be grafted and accepted for those who live there and be a part as we become one in Christ. And again, I want to be one of those strangers. I can't think of a stranger guy than me. And so I said, look, I'll be one of those strangers. Let me be involved with you guys in the kingdom. And so look what it says. They shall have an inheritance among you, among the tribes of Israel, which means some Gentiles will be getting some inheritance within the tribes of Israel. And it shall be that in whatever tribe the stranger dwells, they shall give him his inheritance, says the Lord. And so again, I don't know how that's all going to work out, but maybe some of us in this room will have our inheritance there in Jerusalem, and that's going to be exciting. Wherever we are, you're going to be excited. It's going to be great regardless, because we're going to be on the earth in the kingdom with the Lord. It's all going to be wonderful. And so I'm excited either way, but boy, I really hope I get to be one of those. God, I know he's already chosen who that's going to be, but we'll see one day. But either way, look what he says here. He says, for I, the Lord, will be a wall of fire, glory in our midst. And now he changes gears all of a sudden here. And notice he says, starting in verse 6, he begins to call them back. That is those that are still in Babylon. So we see a shift now from the encouragement to Zechariah in these first 5 verses, starting in verse 6, where this message is now to be sent to the Jews that are still in Babylon that haven't yet come back. And remember, even as it happened in their day, it's happening in our day as well. And that is, there's some that want to go back initially, their pioneer spirit. There's some that don't want to go back because, again, their roots are established. Again, remember, they've been in Babylon 70 years. A whole new generation has begun. They've married. They have kids. They have businesses. They have schools for their kids. They have nice homes. They've gotten used to the culture and the environment. It is hard to be uprooted. Again, even if you went to Russia for 70 years and then came back to Knoxville, if you never knew Knoxville and you only knew Russia, which is hard for us to imagine, it would be an adjustment culturally. Not just the hard work that you had to do. So a lot of people didn't naturally just head on back. And now God is going to give them that nudge and say, look, you need to come back. I've promised you a homeland. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to restore you then. And again, he's going to do the same thing in our day. But look what he says, verse 6. He says, up, up, flee from the land of the north. It's interesting that word there, flee, also comes with the meaning of to be driven, to be forced, to be pushed. That'll make more sense in a moment. Flee or be driven, be pushed from the land of the north, that is Babylon, says the Lord. For I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Up, Zion, escape you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. Now again, remember, we talked about only a small number had come. God needed to regather them in order to rebuild and reestablish the tribes. But because of their comfy place they'd now come to, they weren't doing it. So notice what God says he's going to do. I'm going to allow things to happen in your life that will drive you back to the Holy Land. You know, guys, I believe we know historically it happened. I believe we're seeing the very same thing taking place prophetically in the fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 2 happening right now in our day. And what do I mean by that? Listen, there are Jews scattered all over the world, and they're very comfortable where they are. I remember when I first started looking at the numbers of the Jews that were in Israel, I think when I first started, it was either 6 or 7 million. They're up to something like 10 million now that have come back. Many of them went back because they were pioneers. They wanted to go to their homeland. Many of them just felt compelled to move back. You'd ask them, why did you go back to Israel? I don't know. And they aren't believers. It's just like, I don't know, I felt compelled to go back. That was God drawing them. And so they're kind of like there's been this wave after wave of God drawing them back. The problem is now we've gotten to a place where there are Jews scattered all over the world and they're entrenched where they are. God is going to drive them back to Israel. Now, are all of them going to be driven back? I don't know. But I remember reading this years ago, and I remember thinking there's going to come a point where God's going to start in some form and fashion driving the Jews back to Israel, because God's going to regather the 12 tribes. again, maybe not 100%, but in large part, then he's going to pour out his spirit, and many of them are going to recognize their Messiah, immediately 12,000 from each tribe. That's where we get the 144,000 that it talks about in the book of Revelation. And there's going to be more than that in the long term. But again, God has to get them back in the land before he can pour his spirit out on them. And when we get to Zechariah chapter 10, we'll see that they are back in the land because they see their Messiah coming back and he's been pierced. And they begin mourning and weeping about what they've done to their Messiah. But why do I believe we're right now watching this take place before our very eyes? Have you noticed an increased hatred and pressure on the Jews around the world? Anybody notice that? Again, I'm speaking facetiously. We've all noticed it. Where's that coming from? Well, it's a spiritual battle, first of all. Satan hates God. Satan hates the promises that he's made to the nation of Israel and the Jews. And so the pressure is turning up on them, and Satan is behind that. God's not doing it. Satan is. But God is and will take advantage of it. And what do I mean by that? Did you hear, again, of course, we know what's been happening recently and all the pressure on them. Did you hear what happened in Amsterdam and the attacks against the Jews in Amsterdam? There was a soccer game, and there were groups of Muslim youth. I say youth, 20s, 30s. That's not really youth. I guess that is to me. Muslim guys, Muslim men that had sent out social media. They'd organized themselves on social media, so they say they did it now. And they put groups together, and in those groups, they had them waiting at different exits coming out of the field where they'd been playing their soccer game. Israel had been playing a soccer game. And when the Jews came out, they began to attack them. They, again, put many of them in the hospital. There was a lot of damage done. And it was something that was very atrocious. Again, if you've been watching the news, you probably saw it. There wasn't a lot about it in American news, but if you keep up with Israeli news, you'll certainly know about it. And what Netanyahu did is he sent a couple of planes over there to pick up any and everybody that wanted to move back to Jerusalem. And some 2,000 people packed up and left and went to Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? Now imagine, yeah, that's supernatural, guys. Think about it. Look. If we lived here and somebody beat us up one day and somebody said, all right, we'll take you back to wherever your homeland is. It's hard to even imagine that scenario. How many of us would just say, okay, I'll sell my house and I'm going to move? This is supernatural. I'm not saying that wasn't something that would cause them to be stirred. But what it shows me is that God is now, as Satan attacks and brings in the persecution on the Jews, God is now using that and driving them back to their homeland. And I think you're going to see a lot more of these instances around the world on a regular basis against the Jews. Not because God is doing it, not because God wants it, but because Satan is doing it. God is allowing the enemy to attack them for now, and God is going to use that to drive them back to their land. And I think you're going to see a great influx of the Jews back into Israel now because of all this persecution around the world. And I believe it's a direct fulfillment of Zechariah 2, as well as other prophecies in the scripture, where I think this is a dual prophecy. Where God says to him in Babylon back then, be driven out of there, come home. And I believe because it is in a context of a dual prophecy that God's going to say when they're regathered after Rome, be driven back again. So we're watching this happen. It's, again, sad for the Jews, and we need to pray for them, but it's exciting in what God has for the Jews and for their future because God is going to be bringing them back as God is going to be working and is working in their life. But there's something else I want you to note before we move on. Remember, we talked about God calling Jerusalem Zion. And we talked about in the purest form, God is a Zionist. I know there's a real attack against that today, but in the purest form, God very much is a Zionist. All it means is he loves the land of Israel and he wants the Jews to go back. That's the actual definition. Now, a lot of people take that and run with it and make it all kinds of other definitions. But the true pure definition of Zionism is simply the love of the land and the people going to their homeland, which means God is for that.
Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk has been leading us in a study through the book of Zechariah. This book serves as a reminder for us to faithfully serve God from generation to generation. The people of Israel were sent into exile because they stopped serving God and started worshiping idols, and God's protection over their land was lifted. But when the Israelites turned back to God, he welcomes them back into his loving presence and empowers them to rebuild what was destroyed. If you would like to hear more from Pastor Mark's study in Zechariah or in any other books of the Bible, we'd like to invite you to check out our website. Just visit thewaymedia.net and click on the Come to the Table tab. That's where you'll find links for our podcast feed and our questions and comments page. If God has placed something special on your heart that you have a question about, or you just want to share a praise report of what God is doing in your life, that is the best place to go. You can also download the Way Media app on our homepage so you can access sound biblical teaching no matter where you are, If you're near Knoxville, Tennessee, we'd love to get to know you in person here at Calvary Knoxville. If you'd like to learn more about service times and location, scroll to the bottom of the homepage and click on the link right above our street address. We'd love to get to know you and help you get connected at our church. One more time, that website is thewaymedia.net. Well, Pastor Mark has plenty more to share from God's Word, so be sure to join us next time as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.